Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Great. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Hi, I'm here with Uzzer Usman and Mo Amer and Hamid Weinberg. How great. Are you? Okay, great.
Great.
Great. So how's everything else?
Great.
That's great.
Not so great.
Why not?
No, bad. Everything's bad.
That's not great.
No.
All right. Now it's time for a word from our sponsors.
Great.
Thank you.
Hello, little cuties of dumbness. I am the professor, in case your little imbecile brain hasn't caught on by now. I mean it with love. Today we are back with the latest episode of Joking Not Joking. We welcome back Mo and AZ's friends and fellow comedians, Ahmed Weinberg and Paul Elia. The episode starts off with Ahmed giving the guys the inside scoop of what it's like going to clown school. He also talks about how it has affected his stand-up routine and the role it played for him coming up in the L.A. comedy scene. Mo and AZ also have a message for Bill Cosby as he tries to plan a new national tour and why Cosby owes Mo a lot of fucking money. Watch out, Bill. It's never good to owe people money. This is Clown School. Enjoy!
Joking, not joking.
What up, everybody? It's Mo.
It's Mo.
What's up? This is your boy, Uzzer Usman.
From Luminary, this is Joking, Not Joking.
Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with studying clown? Because I find that very interesting.
How that's
affected your stand-up.
Well, yeah. I mean, the way that open mics were that hard in the beginning in LA, where you're just shit your pants, like you couldn't handle it. Like the clown classes that I took, which it's not like, you know, white face makeup and a honky nose and a tiny car.
can you actually describe a little bit, like what happens in the clown training classes?
Well, I mean, clown work is basically like, you know, physical comedy. It doesn't have to be purely physical, but you're doing a lot more movement, and it's like humiliation-based comedy is like the most important part. So like a clown is just someone who's outperforming and they want the audience to love them so deeply, but they're like a kind of a bumbling idiot, like doing whatever they can to make them love you. And so my class, it was really hard. Like people would quit left and right. They're just like, I can't handle this. I had that open mic experience where I was like, I don't mind failing. And you're just performing for the class. And it was like 12 people. But yeah, like for example.
What a nightmare. Right?
It was
really
hard.
And they all
think
they're funny, obviously. They all think they're clowns. Well, so they all think they're funny.
And the teacher kept it real. Like if you came out and you weren't funny, he would just be like, ay, ay, ay. Like, what are you, what?
Oh, yeah.
This sounds amazing, bro.
This
sounds amazing. Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Why'd you do that? You know? And then someone would start crying and be like in such a vulnerable state and just be like, I don't know. And like, there would be something actually really funny about that.
Hilarious.
And everyone would be like, any laughter that was generated in that room was completely genuine.
Wow.
So it kept, it was really,
sounds amazing.
It was heartbreaking for a lot of actors and improvisers because.
As it should be.
Yeah.
No, I love the fact that it's a way to break your own arrogant claims about how funny you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
and
what I'm
these communities that you're rolling with in LA that like you're all, you got each other's back and you're supportive
exactly.
and all this shit.
I don't know. I agree with it and don't agree with that statement because sometimes you're like, you might be doing something and the other person might think it's silly and they didn't get to finish it yet.
Oh, you mean like they would cut you off or something? Like,
yeah. You don't know where this is going. Just give it a second. Let me be an asshole for 2 minutes.
Well, he would. He sometimes, instead of saying, oh, this sucks, stop, he would just let it go.
Yeah.
And just see where you went. So like one of the exercises was called interrogation. One person would be sitting on a chair, like on the stage, and it was someone else's job to come out. And that person's job was to not laugh. And your job was to make them laugh.
Oh my God, this sounds
the person
amazing.
On the chair. So like I would come out and start giving like a funny speech to this person, you know, as a character, because I know how to talk to a crowd. And the teacher would be like, ah, come back out. Don't talk this time. You know, so you have to go back and immediately come back out and you just start dancing or just some dumb shit that's like so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, that's like so bad. What are you doing? What do you think this is?
Was Chad your teacher?
My brain went not completely Chad. Different. My brain went completely silent and to get as intimate as possible. That's where my mind wanted to go.
Well, that would be the better instinct.
Get to go.
Yeah, yeah, because
and that's why you're funny.
Well, yeah, you did learn that shit. That's the thing when you walk out in that room and you don't use the microphone and you start talking because you're present with the audience. So like I think a lot of people's instinct is, you know, you want to use your skills or you want to be big or you want to like you want to make a show. But really the key to being funny a lot of the time is like doing nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, or just being quiet, walking around and then you kind of look at the crowd for a while and like study them and then. And then you just sit on the guy's lap and just kind of like look at him and just kind of like make a weird face. And he might start laughing like in that moment, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's because the audience can tell that this is not planned, that you're not using any of your skills and that you're actually being completely fucking vulnerable, that it's funny. So it's literally just like trying to create that out of everybody.
Wow.
It's really hard. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's basically like trying to develop a muscle of being vulnerable.
Yeah.
So you can on demand access raw vulnerability.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just like understanding your body and how it moves to mm-hmm. be physically funny without saying any words. That to me is like completely different art form. That's why I love Chris Farley so much.
Mm-hmm.
He was so fantastic mm-hmm. at knowing how to move his body or even just like the way he looks at you and how close he gets to you or how the soft moments, and he still like has a particular pose naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people have it. There's yeah. like a intrinsic physical, somebody walks out from behind a curtain and they just are funny. You're just like, fuck, what are you doing?
Yeah,
how do
so
you do
unfair.
That?
Did you ever see Farley's interview on Conan with when Adam Sandler popped in?
Mm-mm.
You ever saw? Oh, so
no,
funny.
No, Adam Sandler popped in or was yeah. it David Spade?
No, it was Adam Sandler. It was so funny. It was
this is what I keep telling you about your comedy. You're so physically hilarious, but you don't really use it in your stand-up. You know what I'm saying? Like taking advantage of that.
Yeah, but
it's
you hack,
gotta,
bro.
You got to hump the stool. Dude.
Yeah. What do you make it? What do you respond to that? People do that shit, right? It's hacky, bro. It's hacky.
Well, I think those people don't have any understanding of what stand-up comedy entails. They think just standing there and delivering a particular or a joke is the way to do it, or sitting there just being as still as possible, which is a completely other skill set, is just part of stand-up. Again, it's about accumulating as many tools as you can in your belt to be as flexible as possible. I can sit down, I can move, I can, you know, have outbursts. It's a combination and balance of all those things that make you a great stand-up comedian. If you watch Carlin, especially his early stuff, even if his later stuff, he'll have outbursts of really silly, goofy movements.
Yeah.
Even his voice will change so much. Well, I don't know how much that is. I don't know how much that is. I don't know. Hey, you telling me what? Hey, fuck that. I want that. You know, look how many different times I changed the tone of my voice. The sound of my voice. That's also part of the delivery. Saying a word differently, saying a word with a different inflection can make it funnier. Much funnier. Not even a little bit.
Also, yeah, like I think the clown shit did teach me how to be more present and just like not reciting my material, but kind of just living in it, taking pauses, looking at people. Like
that's what I was gonna say. Was one of the most important things to learn as a comedian is being okay with silence.
Yeah,
I'm sure that helped you be a lot calmer.
Yeah,
with people in front of you, like without having to rush to say anything. That's one of the things that's really important.
Yeah.
Eye contact, incredibly important.
Yeah.
Comedians are terrified to have, I don't want anybody to know in the front row. So what? That's your boy. Talk to him like he's your boy. He's right there. That's what you should be doing anyway. Don't feel weird about somebody that you know in the audience. Is it better that you have somebody somewhere else that's not like, it's not because I'm uncomfortable performing in front of them. It's because I don't want to think about my other life as I'm doing this. Oh, that's my boy. Oh, man, we haven't talked since then. Oh, I look at him a certain way. I don't want to feel uncomfortable to say anything like that. So that's usually my reason for that. It's like, yo, get good seats. You don't have to be in the front row. But still, if they're there, make eye contact. Look at, pick three people. Danny would tell me, pick like three people that you always go back to. That are like you center left, center right. If you can get more, great. I spread it out everywhere.
That's a great note. That's so good, man.
Oh, it changes the whole thing. Even when I'm doing an arena or a large theater, very important to make eye contact. Pick the people, even though it's a big place and there's balconies. Feel like you're looking at a certain person up there and then move to the center and move when you look at an upper deck or something.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And now, a message for geriatric rapist and one of the greatest two-faced liars of all time, Bill Cosby.
Well, I was thinking of going on a couple of tour dates. Particularly, I'm going to start the tour on Epstein's Island. That's going to be the big close at the end of the tour. Bill Clinton already bought a ticket, so yeah, jello.
Like, how the fuck is he going to do that? Like, hey, Cosby, let it go, bro. It's over. All right, you fucking won. Congratulations. You've inspired so many people to become comedians and to become contributors in the art form and in the culture, and then you fooled us, okay? You fucking ruined a lot of people's stories, including mine. You tainted it a little bit. And you stole my bit. Bitch, you owe me money. You stole my bit. Stole my chess bit. Shit was played. thousands of times across the planet. That's $10,000 per copyright infraction. You owe me millions of dollars. You owe a lot of people their lives back, and now you want to go tour to vindicate yourself? It's over, dog. Stop. What could you possibly talk about? Probably a lot. Honestly, I want to go see the show. I'm lying. I want to go check it out, okay? I'm pretending. I'm fucking being self-righteous right now. I want to go see it. He's already out. We already know the truth. Is it Apollo style? Are we going to be like, you have, you know, a minute up top, and if it's not good, we boo you, and a clown comes and scoops you off the stage? And then Steve Harvey comes out and say, we just fucking around, and just the band starts playing and shit. Who's going to book him? What venues are going to book him?
I don't know who's going to book him, but I know who's going to open for him.
Who?
Hannibal Buress.
He would never. How weird is that?
It would be dope if he, like, repented.
Right.
If he owned it and he was like, yeah, I was a serial rapist. May God forgive me. I don't know that he's going to do that.
He's wearing a Tupac bandana. His Thug Life on his chest now. And he curses now. Like, imagine a guy that was just like, stop cursing. And then he goes and rapes.
That's crazy, dude.
All I know is please catch me on tour. Today on my website, BillCasby.com.
I guess there's like some people that when they do material, it's like their material and then there's them. And it's like, it's nice when you just see that person and it's sprezzatura. It's like, it's just.
Explain sprezzatura. Can you pull up sprezzatura on the Wikipedia, please? This is a great word. Paul's so proud of this.
Yeah. So a sprezzatura is essentially, it means careless grace. It's like the ability to do something that's actually rehearsed or planned, and you do it in such a way where it's so graceful as if it was never planned at all.
Paul, you want to try to read this? And
I'll respond.
Can you?
Why would you do that to him?
Yeah, why would you?
He already said
on the day of today.
Sprezzatura. He already said
sprezzatura.
Sprezzatura. He yep. already said that. You know how much pressure he was under to pronounce that.
Bro, that's like the biggest word I think you know. Is that right?
Why is this become about that?
Yeah, exactly. Being real all the time is probably not the best.
Brings
I have sarcastic dementia, bro. I'm sorry.
What about up from all of them?
Me pronouncing ophthalmologist so well is a result of me practicing sprezzatura, which is
I don't think they care.
Lufthansa. Yeah, this is what I believe is the secret to performance.
Okay, go ahead. What is it? Say it.
Sprezzatura
is an Italian word that first appears in this Italian guy's 1528.
Baldassare Castiglione.
You're making fun of Paul.
Baldassare Castiglione. Yeah.
Baldassare Castiglione.
28, the maker of the pizza. He wrote a book called The Book of the Courtier. Courtier, I don't know how to say that word.
Courtier.
Where it is real. Defined.
That's
is
very it, important. It's a slogan. It's huge in hip-hop.
Courtier.
Hey, how you doing?
Where
it,
it is defined by the author as, quote, a certain nonchalance so as to conceal all art.
And to see everybody like really.
No, it is a word. I think the opposite, chalance, is not a word, which is weird.
Chalance.
No, you could be, yeah, somebody has a joke about this, right? Nonchalant. Maybe he did also. Paul Varghese had a hilarious joke about this.
Filming
Paul
Sweet Dreams?
Paul Varghese, nonchalant, yeah. Chalant. Wow, how can you do things nonchalantly? You never do things chalantly. By the author as a certain nonchalance, so as to conceal all art and make whatever one does or says appear to be without effort and almost without any thought about it. It is the ability of the courtier to display an easy facility in accomplishing difficult actions, which hides the conscious effort that went into them. Sprezzatura has also been described as, quote, a form of defensive irony, the ability to disguise what one really desires, feels, thinks, and means, or intends behind a mask of apparent reticence and nonchalance.
Yeah.
Also, it's like...
No, he just straight up slaps somebody.
No, this is Will Smith.
I mean, well, because he puts in so much effort to make it look like there's no effort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He puts in so much effort to seem like, hey, I'm a perfect person.
Crystal.
And he smacked the shit out of Chris Rock.
Bro.
Disgusting.
We should talk about the tackle. We were there for the tackle, bro. That was a wild night.
We were there for the tackle.
What day was it?
I have special
sort of dementia. It was Tuesday.
It was a few months ago. I mean, you could Google that shit now.
Yeah.
That was a wild night. And what about the fact that, bro, this is a thing in comedy now and just public appearances. Freaking Rock gets slapped. Chappelle gets tackled. Salman Rushdie gets stabbed.
The shooting
in the club. What was that? Somebody's comedy show?
Craig Robinson.
Yeah. Bro, I mean, this is a bad, it's, you know, you don't want to try to connect dots where there's nothing to connect. But, bro, these are live performance situations. People from the audience wiling out, literally creating violent confrontations. I don't know if this is going to have a chilling effect on people either wanting to go to public events or performers or public speakers becoming more careful. Is it more security?
Yeah, you're just going to have to hire your own security. I mean, that's a real thing. I'm going to do that for the tour.
Just to be on stage, like while you're up there?
No, they are. They really are. There's people that are doing this. And there's people that are doing, like, I think there's a different price from the neck up versus the neck down, like for whole body. So the neck up and this, like, realizing very quickly, you know, you're just getting calls from people you haven't heard from in like 20 years and 10 years, 15 years, you know, messages, texts, just random people potentially popping into your green room or something like that. You're like, man, I haven't seen you in like so long. I'm getting ready for a show. Like, I don't know if I could put you in my season 2. You know what I mean? Like, give me a second, you know? So it's just a vibe control so I can at least do my show. And then I'm willing to, I mean, obviously want, I want to see everybody as much as possible, but not like before the show or like I want to control that environment as much as possible.
Hey, Mo, you know, I heard the episode and I must say, I can't even get a ticket to your show, which is clearly insulting. I mean, I should be helping you write everything anyway. And if you can't give me a ticket, it's fine because, you know, this is all beneath me completely. It's just most of your jokes I've thought of 25 years. Actually, before you even bought, I thought about those jokes anyway. Just being repetitive to me, but I'd like seeing you dance for me, you monkey. That's the only reason why I would go, so I don't really want a ticket, so fuck you. Okay, it's fine. I'm helping you out, make this into a real podcast anyway. All right, that's it for this episode, ladies and gentlemen. We've made it this far, so might as well stay for one last episode of Joking Not Joking. If you don't tune in next week, then you are a quitter, and nobody likes quitters. This is your professor, signing off.
Whoa, guess who just texted me right now? Hannibal Buress. As we're talking about Bill Cosby, bro, that's wild. Yo, that's crazy. Yo, that's fucking wild.
Joking Not Joking is a Luminary original. Original audio production, music, and sound design by Salt. Executive produced by Noah Gersh, Jamie Sheffman, Nick Panama, and Kenzie Wilbur. Head of Creative, Jordan Galvin. Head of Production, Liz LeMay. Head of Post-Production, Robert Adler. Produced by Imran Ali Malik and Aaron Kennedy. Supervising producers, Ali Strobel and Alice Bierne. Post-production supervisor, Ali Honore. Edited by Jeffrey Muchnick and Aaron Kennedy. Sound design and music by Matthew Cilelli. Mixed by Aaron Kennedy. Recorded by Aaron Kennedy, Zach Jurich, and Mario Borgata. Guest booking by Drive Entertainment and Hager Eldos. Additional music courtesy of Extreme Music.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.